Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the Believer's Authority was recorded at our 2009 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Are you going to use some faith and believe and take your authority and receive what Jesus has provided for you? Or are you going to beg and ask Him to do something that He's already promised He's done? And see, it's the same thing with healing. It's the same thing with prosperity. Brothers and sisters, it's done. I've got a teaching out there entitled, "You've Already Got It, So Quit Trying to Get It." And it's the same point that I'm making right here. God's already done it. And yet the vast majority of us are asking God to do something because we feel totally powerless. Your feeling of powerlessness is a revelation of your unbelief, either ignorance or unbelief. I don't mean that to be critical. I'm just trying to get my point across. I'm saying it's either ignorant or unbelief. When you sit there and, "Oh God, I'm powerless." I had two or three people tonight that, "Would you please help me? I'm just powerless. I can't overcome this." You're already in unbelief. You're defeated the moment you believe that, because you've separated yourself from God. You're looking at yourself as just a mere human being. You aren't seeing yourself in Christ. You aren't taking a stand of faith. You don't have any power and authority. You're missing your authority in Christ. We have authority. And until we rise up and take the position that God has given us, you can beg and plead, and it'll never get you results. And that is precisely the reason that the vast majority of people believe God can do things, but they don't see that power manifest because they aren't taking their authority. They're coming as a beggar, pleading with God to do what He already says He's done. Every one of you in here have heard this scripture, 1 Peter 2:24, "Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." We've all heard that. And yet I can guarantee you, every person in here, "Oh God, heal me." You were healed. It's already been done. If you were, then why are you asking to be healed? "Well, because I don't, the doctor says I'm dying because I have this pain." That's in the natural, but in the spiritual realm, you have the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. "According to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality." You have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead living on the inside of you. You don't need to ask God to send His power. You've got it. If you're born again, you have raising from the dead power on the inside of you. The problem isn't that God hasn't given. The problem is that we haven't believed and taken our position and learned how to release the power of God. Amen. I'm preaching better than you're listening. Look over in Ephesians chapter 2. Here's another application of why you need to understand authority. All of this tonight is kind of introduction. In Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 1, it's, you know, I just quoted Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, about what is the exceeding greatness of His power. It just keeps talking about that, and that everything is now under His feet. And in chapter 2, verse 1, "And you hath," past tense, already done, "hath," all over with, "He quickened." The word "quickened" means made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein ye in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." You know, this is a radical scripture that most people don't really think much about, and they certainly don't in practice believe this. But look at this again in verse 2. "Wherein in time past," this is talking about before you got born again, "you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience." This says that there is a spirit at work in unbelievers. This is very offensive today. This is super offensive. Most people, what are you saying? Are you saying that I'm under the control? Are you saying that there's demonic influence in my life? Yep, that's exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying that if you aren't born again, every one of us, before we got born again, had a prince of the power of the air, a spirit that was working in us. Somebody said, are you saying that they're demon possessed? You know, this whole concept of possessed, oppressed, depressed isn't a scriptural concept. If you look the word up in the Greek, it just means demonized. It doesn't matter if you just got the devil nudging you, picking at you, or if he's totally dominating you, you're demonized. Amen. We've made that distinction so that we could sit there and fulfill our own theologies about whether or not a Christian could be demon-possessed or not. But the Bible just says that a person has a demonic problem. Every one of us. Some of you, again, are going to find this offensive because you consider yourself to be just a wonderful person. And when you got born again, Jesus was just the icing on the cake, but you were awesome before then. You're wrong. We were all the children of wrath, even as others. Isn't that right here in this chapter? Oh, yeah. Next verse. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You, before you got born again, had a demonic, or a probably better to say corrupted nature. A fallen human nature that was susceptible to the spirit of this world, demonic spirits. Every person prior to being born again was influenced and controlled by demonic powers. For instance, it doesn't have to be that you're out here a triple rapist and murderer or things like that. You know what? Selfishness is demonic. Pride is demonic. Jealousy is demonic. Envy is demonic. You can prove that over in James chapter 3, verse 16. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion. 1 Corinthians 14 says God is not the author of confusion. So confusion means that it's the devil. Where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Envy and strife opens up a door to anything the devil wants to do in your life. If you've ever had envy and strife in your life, you've had demonic powers operating in you. And I know many of us, now here's another thing that this is going to, some of you will think, no way, not true. Because it is really offensive to Christians to say that people are humanist. You know, there was the Humanist Manifesto, and some of you may not be familiar with that terminology, but humanist is just talking about that they don't recognize God, the spiritual realm at all. Everything is just natural. It's all people. There is no spiritual anything. It's all just natural. That's humanist. And Christians hate that, and we dislike non-believers who don't recognize God, who think we just evolved from slime and that there is no spirituality. There's no spiritual part of us. Everything is physical and organic. But did you know what? A lot of Christians don't recognize it, but we're very humanist. We don't recognize it. We're fighting a spiritual battle. We think that everything is just natural. You know, I mentioned this earlier during, I think it was the offering, but I was talking about depression. Most Christians today have bought into this 100% that your depression is just you got a chemical imbalance, you need a pill or something like that. There's nothing wrong with your emotions. Your emotions follow your thoughts. There's something wrong with your thinking. And somebody says, oh, now they've proven that people who are depressed have this imbalance. What they're doing is seeing the byproduct of the problem. It's not the problem. That's just like I read this article that said, people who smile are happier than people who don't smile. That was a multi-million dollar study over 5 years. I could have saved them a lot of money by just telling them this, but this was some government study. People who smile are happier than people that don't smile. So the recommendation was smile more and you'll be happier. How dumb can you get and still breathe? Smiling doesn't make you happier, but if you're happier, you smile more. Why couldn't they figure that out? It's not the smiling that made you happy. It's the happy that makes you smile. And I agree that, yes, people have chemical imbalances, but it's not the chemical imbalance that make them depressed. It's the fact that they are focused on the wrong things that causes their brain to get out of whack and chemical imbalances. And you can either give it a pill or you can give it the gospel. You can focus their attention on the Word of God. And if people will start thinking on things that are honest and pure and lovely and just and of good report, if you will do what it says in Isaiah chapter 26, 3, where it says the Lord will keep him in perfect peace. I thought you already had Isaiah 26, 3. I thought she knew where I was going, but she was close. But it says the Lord will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon him because he trusteth in him. Peace is an emotion, and it's related to what your mind is stayed upon. If you are thinking on depressing things, you should be depressed. That's the way God made you. If you think on good things, you will be blessed. People are missing it. See, there are Christians who hate this thing about the humanists. They don't want to be, and yet they are absolutely humanists. They don't understand that we are in a spiritual battle, that Satan is coming against them, and they are looking for a pill to fix something that a pill isn't supposed to fix. They aren't accepting responsibility. We live in a culture that hates accepting responsibility. We want to blame somebody else. It's what this person did to me. It's because you didn't give me this. It's because the government hasn't given me more money. And if you can't blame anybody else, just blame it on your dysfunctional family.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the Believer's Authority. The Believer's Authority is available for the very first time in book form and can be ordered through bookstores nationwide. Or you can receive a copy when you send a gift of any amount for the work of this ministry. Request book R327 when you write or call or when you go to our website. A Spanish version is also available. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series RM234 or DVD series R3205 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the first teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
Today, I'd like to encourage you to become a partner with this ministry and help us spread this good news. You know, there are many of you who do partner with us, and I want to thank you. We now are reaching over 2 billion people, potential, around the world. And it's only our partners that have enabled us to do that. But there is so much more that we want to do. There's so many people that haven't yet heard this good news. If this has been a blessing to you, if you see the benefit of this and understand how this could help other people, then I ask you to become a part of the solution instead of a part of the problem. Help us financially on a monthly basis to be able to reach out. We have partnerships available, a lot of information. If you'll call, you can inquire about that and become a partner with us today.